All right. Well, thanks everybody for hanging with us this long and staying all the way to the last session of the day. I appreciate it. This is going to be a presentation called Content Types, Managed Metadata, and You. I'm Lori Gowan. I'm a premier field engineer for Microsoft. Basically, what that means is if there's a problem, somebody calls me and I try to go and help them fix it. There's lots of different varieties of us. There's a few in the audience as well. But that's what I do. I do SharePoint for a living, and I tend to focus mostly on the infrastructure or the power user side. This is a power user session. If you're going to tweet or anything in here or enjoy in Yammer, there's a hashtag SPC226 for this session. Feel free to use that at any time. So how many of you have SharePoint sites and document libraries that look a lot like this? Right? So we have more files than we know what to do with. They're in places, some are in folders, some are jammed in on top, some are in the bottom. We don't know how to get to it. So in order to avoid this in our environment, we're going to talk a little bit today about content types. We're going to start with what are content types, why we might need them. I'm asked that all the time, so I'm going to hold that question because people I know go, well, why do I need content types? So I'm going to hold that question after I talk about what content types are, then we'll talk about why we need them. Then we'll talk about implementing them and also with managed metadata. And with that, we're going to have two demos there. We're going to talk about how we plan. I'm going to demo some planning tools that you might want to consider and use. And then also implementation. All right, so we'll start with what content types are. And I'll show you this definition, because it's really, really important for us to understand this definition, right? It's a reusable group of settings for a category of content. And to me, I looked at that and went, that doesn't tell me anything, right? It really doesn't tell me exactly what I need to know about content types. But that is the definition. Content types are settings, and they have different components. So there's six components, and they can have one or all of these components that are part of that content type. Things like a template. A template. So maybe we have lots of documents, and we want them to look the same way every time. So all of our project charters, if you're in project management, look the same. We have the same kind of sections. We can set those up as templates and use them as part of our content type. Custom forms is kind of similar, so we may have a custom form that we use that we want people to fill out and gather information that can be used in a list in our SharePoint environment. Metadata columns. Now, metadata columns is where the managed metadata comes in and really helps us shine there. But there's lots of different types of metadata columns. Some are managed metadata, some are not. We're going to talk a little bit about both of those. Workflows. So workflows is another thing that you can attach to content types. So I like to think of vacation requests. Anybody like to take vacations? Nobody but this lady here wants to take a vacation? Let's go to Bermuda. I mean, I'm just saying. So if you have a vacation request, and vacation request is your content type, and we always have to get approval for our vacations, then we can set up a workflow that every time somebody fills out a vacation request to go take that vacation, it behaves the same way every time, no matter where it's used. Information management policies is another piece of our content type components, and what it does is allow us to manage how that information is used. We can have an information management policy that says, I have to keep these contracts for 7 years. Or if anybody in here is military or federal, you know, maybe it's 800 years plus 10 days, right? We have to keep it forever and ever and ever. So we can set some of these policies. So I've created a new contract, and what I want to do with that contract is I want to keep it for 3 years, and then it expires, or it becomes an archive in another location. And we can do that using information management policies. Also, auditing is part of that. So you can have an audit that is set up on a content type. So all the time, you're getting the same kind of information about your content type. You also have the document information panel. Has anybody ever used one of these? Few of you. You're going to see one in my demo, but basically what the document information panel does is allow your users to enter their metadata without having to leave the context of their document that they're working with. So does that kind of help us get started? Let's start thinking about a content type and how we can really define it. So I've decided we're going to create a person as our content type. So we have a new content type, and it is a person. We have a template. It's human. Is anybody in here not a human? Get out of my session. Because if you're not human, I'm a little concerned. All right? We maybe have some metadata about our person. So our metadata that we want to collect. Let's say we need a name. So we got Bob Jones. So we can all keep up with the Joneses, right? We maybe want to know his eye color, his height, his hair color. Some of these we can see easily, but maybe there's some metadata we can't see very easily about a person, like their favorite color or favorite food. So things that you can't just notice about somebody. And when we're talking about documents and things like that, sometimes this metadata can't be easily gathered from within that document. That's why we have them as columns. We have an information management policy. So the retirement age here in the U.S. is approximately 62 and a half. If anybody retires at that, I'm very proud for you. I probably won't get to retire at that age. But maybe we want to have our information management policy that says we're going to retire by 62 and a half years of age. So when we hit 62 and a half years of age, we get a workflow that runs and says, hey, are you ready to retire? And we can say yes, or we can say no, we're not going to approve that disposal, right? And then we have a workflow. There may be multiple workflows. Things like growing up, we want them to grow up, maybe get an education. You know, we can have different workflows there, maybe have some kind of family, whatever that may be. So these are workflows, things that we desire to have as a human and for our content type of a person to actually have. So when you start thinking about content types, this is how I like to start thinking about it, is think about all of the information as well as the actual content itself is what we need to know about a content type. And that's how we create our content types. We think of a document or something, and so pretend this is a document. Okay, now what is it going to look like? What's the template going to be? What workflow do we need to have for it? What metadata am I going to need? Is it going to be in the document that it all stays, or do I need it for something else? I'm asked a lot of times about that, like why do we need to do this? And what we want to do is make it reusable. So this brings us into where content types exist. They exist in multiple levels, and they kind of trickle down. So we'll start at the top, and that is the enterprise content types. So enterprise content types are those content types that can be used anywhere in your environment. You get this thing called a content type hub. We'll talk a little bit more about later, and I'll show you a little bit about the content type hub. And you can create your content types and push them out in every site collection, every environment, in every list, every web app, everything can subscribe to this content type hub and be able to have a subscription to get the content types that it needs. So what it does is, remember that vacation request? Well, we need vacation requests maybe in the IT department and in the HR department and finance department and, you know, research department. So all of these disparate sites, they have their own site collections. And unless you create it at the enterprise content type level, it can't get to all of those and be the same content type. So we can make it look the same if we do it at the enterprise level. The next level is the site content types. And that is when it's created at the site collection or site level. And those content types can be reused anywhere within that site collection. And here I like to talk about IT. Anybody in IT? A few of us, right? So in IT, we deal with a lot of things that most of the rest of the business does not necessarily deal with, or organization, or whatever you're with, right? We deal with things like servers and systems and programs, and we need to keep records of these things and keep up with information. So one of the content types that we may create just within our site collection, because only IT needs to use it, is maybe a content type that is server. And we can have our metadata about that be the server name, IP address, maybe what data center it lives in, what brand it is, what model, the end of life, so we know when we need to buy new ones, so we can create workflows around that that let us know, hey, this has been here for 3 years, we're nearing end of life, or whatever it is. So that's something that is a specific type of information that not everybody needs. Only really IT needs that information. So that's why we would create it at the site level. So we'd create a site content type. The last type is a list content type. Now this one's a little confusing because every type of content type becomes a list content type at some point. When it is attached to a list or library and is used, it becomes a list content type. So if you go in and you say, okay, well, I want to modify the content types for this list or library, and I want to be able to use it, and then you delete that content type, it always pops up and it says, are you sure you want to delete this list content type? You can be safely assured then that that list content type is the only place it's going to delete, especially if it's already created at the site or enterprise level. The other type of list content type is when you've actually just gone in and modified a list and you've customized it, which is easy to do, but not the recommended way. Because when you do that, it can't be reused anywhere. It's stuck in that one list. And unless you save it as a template, that's all there is to it. But then we can't also reuse the data effectively or workflows effectively when we do that. So SharePoint does come with content types. Has anybody ever created an item in a list? Yes. You've worked with a content type. If you've created a contact in a contact list or a task, these are some of the standard, there's way more than this, but these are some of the standard ones that come with SharePoint. They've tried to create and give us the tools, the very basic start of your content types that you need. But here's a tip, don't modify these. Please. Don't modify these. I've seen this happen. Somebody decided that in item, they wanted different things other than the title, because the item content type consists of one metadata field, and it is called the title. And if you go into the content type at the site or site collection or even the enterprise level and you try to modify that, bad, bad things can happen. Very bad things. So just don't mess with these. It's better to create your own, and that leads us to the next point. Content types have relationships. So they've given us these building blocks, these initial content types that are very basic, a document, an item in a list, a task, some very basic things that many of us need, but maybe we need to build on and we need to add things to. So now we have relationships. And they are parent-child relationships. Anybody in here a child? There are way not enough hands going up for that one. Okay, I'm just saying. So parent-child relationships. When you are a child and you're born, you inherit things from your parent, sometimes whether we want them or not, right? Okay, things like eye color, hair color, how tall or short, yes, I know, we may end up being. So we inherit these things. The same thing with content types. Because they have a parent, they inherit those basic settings from that parent. Okay? The next thing is that content types, if you change that parent, guess what? That child gets changed too. Now, that doesn't happen in real life. I wish that happened, you know, because if my parents got rich, can I inherit that? Yes, one day, but I'd like to inherit it right now. And this is real time, whereas we don't get it real time. All right? But it's important to also note, because I've actually had people ask this question, and you'll see when we start creating content types, you can put them into categories. So your content type category does not affect the parent-child relationship. How many of you still live with your parents? Nobody raises their hand. How many of you want to still live with your parents? A few of you? Well, okay. But, you know, I look at the categories as like an address. Eventually, my children, hopefully, will grow up and move out of my house. And so they're going to get their own address. Does that make them not my child any longer? No, they're still my child. They still inherit from me. But they just don't live in the same place as me anymore. So when you think about categories, know that that's not going to affect your relationships. All right, so does everybody kind of understand content types a little bit more? Kind of grasp the concept of what they are? We're going to move on to why we need them. And this is important. So content types give us a lot of opportunities to do things. They extend the capabilities that we have. You can put the same kind of content in multiple locations. Remember that vacation request we talked about, having it across every site and every site collection so that it always looks the same? So we can do that. We can also then put different kinds of content in the same location. We can have a single document library, maybe for project management, that contains content types like project charter, risk analysis, things like that. Those special documents that you need for a single project, now we can build them all and put these content types in a single location and not confuse our users. They categorize the content. So when you go, anybody go new and it says document and that's the only thing you ever see? Everybody says yes because that's the default way it works. It's much, much easier for our user to understand if they go new, oh, project charter is listed right there. I don't have to think about this document anymore and go, oh, do I click new document? Do I upload my own? What do? I just click new and I select project charter, or I click new risk analysis, new whatever the next thing is, okay? It helps our users understand that. It also standardizes behavior for our content. So workflows, things like that, we can create a standard behavior that it's gonna behave the same everywhere that it goes. We don't have to worry about, did we set it up right? Is it gonna go to the right manager? Is it gonna go to the right person for approval? What are we gonna do with it? Is it gonna be disposed on time? You know, have we kept this too long? Have we not kept it long enough? So things like that can all be standardized. It also centralizes the settings and management, because how many of you like to create lists over and over and make them look the same over and over and over and act the same over and over and over? And we can do it in one place and have it trickle down to wherever it needs to be, whether that's an entire site collection or all of our site collections from our content type hub. We can then centralize that, do it once, and let it be populated out to all of those locations. It also allows us to do something fun. It allows us to do rolling up of data. How many of you like to roll up data? How many of you know what rolling up data doesn't mean? Okay. So rolling up data does not mean that data goes from place to place. It's just a view of your data across multiple locations. Now, in the past, we only had the content query web part, right? Anybody familiar with the content query web part? We now have the content search web part. The benefits that we get from content search versus the content query is now we aren't stuck in one site collection. We now have multiple site collections or multiple locations that we can pull from and put all of our data together and roll that data up into a pretty package for our users to be able to go in one place and see everything they need. Okay. There's some benefits for content types. So our benefits for our users is better descriptions of data. It's much easier for them to organize. They can sort and filter, create some views. You know, if we're talking project management, maybe we have a whole bunch of project documents in there, and we can easily view all of the projects related to that particular document. So you can go, oh, well, click through here. I've got all my projects in a list. I've got my documents in a list. I can sort and filter, and I can also do that on content types as well. So I can say, show me all of my project charters, and I can see all of those. It creates some standards. So standards is a big thing. How many of you filled out a paper form? We all filled out paper forms. They're easy for you to just go, oh, I can put whatever I want in this blank here. When we create content types, especially when we create managed metadata that is standardized and we can make sure that it's going to look the same and act the same everywhere it goes. One that I like to use an example here is the states. So in the U.S., we have lots of different abbreviations for our states. We have two-letter abbreviations and three-letter abbreviations, or we can spell it all out. And you never know what to put, you know. Sometimes the blank's a normal size, and you can maybe fill it all out, but they only want you to do two letters. Well, we can standardize it so that every time they use that, if they're selecting from our metadata, that we've already said, hey, it's the two-letter abbreviation, they don't have to question, am I putting in the right information? I like to say it makes it idiot-proof, right? Because we all have that, what do I put in here moment. It also gives us some automation, and then the aggregation. That's that rolling up of data. There's some search benefits here. So if you have metadata and you've created your metadata columns, it makes it much easier for your users to find the information that they want. Because searching by metadata is much better than trying to search through folders, right? We've all been there and had to click, and how many times do I have to click down to the next folder and the next folder and the next folder to find what I'm looking for? Because the folder is the metadata, you know. We have all these different names of folders, and we gotta say which one was that in again. And then we can also filter and restrict search results by content type. This is part of that rolling up of data as well. But we can say, hey, I wanna find everything that is related to the dress code in there. And maybe we've got discussion boards that are related to dress code, and maybe we've got other documents that are related to it, but I only wanna see the policies. So we've got a content type of policies. I can say, only show me the policies related to the dress code, and I can find what I'm looking for much faster as a user. All right, so now we're gonna talk a little bit about managed metadata. So there's a couple of things that you should know about managed metadata. The managed metadata service actually provides two functions. It provides the content type publishing for your enterprise, so that ability to have content types that go across your entire enterprise comes from this service. The second thing is that it provides a framework for managing your metadata terms. And we talk a little bit in here about taxonomy and folksonomy. They're a little bit confusing from time to time. So taxonomy is your official terms for things, things that we actually call them by name in our enterprise and in our business. And then there's the folksonomy. That's the common terminology, right? It's what we call it. I used to work at a place, we had an information technology group was the name of our division, but everybody just called it ITG. So ITG was our folksonomy name for it, because that was the cool, you know, quick, easy way for us to refer to it. And the actual official term was information technology group, okay? We call it PFE. It's actually Premier Field Engineer. And when I introduce myself, I have to remind myself, don't say PFE, because they're gonna go, what? But if I say Premier Field Engineer, some of you may have actually worked with Premier Field Engineers and know what that means, okay? So that's the difference in your taxonomy and your folksonomy. Taxonomy is much more structured. It's official channels and official terminology for things. Folksonomy is much more loosely governed, so it's not like, you know, we don't want to come over there and slap your hand for saying it, but we're just not going to make sure that you do it every time, right? So there's a couple of things in term store administration that you can do. The first thing, it contains a term store. You can manage your term set groups. So this is where your permissions get applied, things like that. You actually apply permissions at your term set group level, so that you can control who manages it, who can contribute to it, what it can be used for. You can manage your term sets and your terms in there. So you can actually go in, create your terms, you can create things like synonyms, languages, so that this is also very important when you're dealing with search, creating your synonyms so that if I type in a synonym, but the managed metadata is actually something else, it will say, oh, I know what that means, and pull back that information for you so that you don't have to try to add multiple columns. Well, they may call it ITG, they may call it Information Technology Group, they may call it something else. If you put those synonyms in there, if they search by ITG, it's gonna know that you mean Information Technology Group. All right, and the other thing you can do is arrange your hierarchy. How are we gonna organize our terms? Are we gonna organize them by divisions? Are we gonna organize them by maybe projects and scale? You know, it really is gonna depend on your organization as to how you wanna do that and manage that. But that's what you can do in that environment. You can also manage things like graduating and promoting keywords from regular keywords up to actual managed metadata. You can move terms around to where they need to be. Maybe you've had a division that has moved to another division, so you need to move all of those terms that are associated with it into that new division. So you can do some of those things there. The other benefit to managed metadata is things like you have navigation and filtering. Anybody using metadata navigation? So there's some really cool things you can do with metadata navigation. You can build out like a catalog, and you can create a page, and it does all this cool stuff and behind the scenes. And so they never realize they're ever leaving the page. Your users see this friendly URL, and then you click on that metadata, and basically it's using the information in the background And it'll change the page and show that information. It's like creating a catalog. Anybody ever had a catalog that you flip through or gone to a catalog site? You go through and you sort and you find it. So that's some really cool things that you can do with navigation and filtering. The other thing you can do is, and I'm going to show you this in the demo, is you can actually just use it within that particular location. You may not need it globally, but it helps your users to be able to find what they're looking for in multiple ways, rather than just having to go and search through and scroll up and down and look for what they're looking for. It gives us some consistency of our terms. So managed metadata, having that taxonomy is very important because then we can make sure that everybody's going to refer to it the same way. It's going to be tagged the same way in all locations. It's going to have that information consistently across different sites and site collections. And then, of course, we can distribute the management of terms. So the HR has control of their terms, and IT has control of their terms. Finance has control of their terms. There's an ability for them to go in and say, you know what, we need to start managing these terms and create those themselves. They can control who can add to or take away from those. And then IT is not responsible for it, right? So now we can go have more coffee because we all need that. All right, so let's look a little bit about how we implement content types and manage metadata. This is very, very important. I made it really big so that you can see it easily. Don't rush through or skip the planning phase. If you do, bad things happen. And that's what happens in a lot of places, is people forget to plan for content types, forget to plan their metadata. People start using it, and then you end up with, remember that big file at the beginning that looks like a mishmash of stuff. And nothing is where it needs to be. People are having a hard time finding their data. People are complaining about SharePoint because if I have to dig through one more folder to try to find what I'm looking for, then it's going to be chaos. So if we skip the planning phase, that's what happens. And I see it everywhere. I like to call it, we have this plant in the South called kudzu. And kudzu is impossible to kill and grows everywhere. If you get a little bit of it, guess what? It's going to take over. So we get SharePoint kudzu. SharePoint just kind of goes and grows, and you can't do anything about it, right? So don't skip this planning phase, or you may end up with SharePoint kudzu, and you can't kill it once it's started. So what we want to do first is, of course, plan our terminology. What terms will you use throughout your organization? Do they need to be standardized? This is a really big key in minimizing the confusion for your users. Are we going to call it a department? Are we going to call it a team? Are we going to call them chiefs or managers? Are we going to call them supervisors? I actually had a customer say to me, we don't like the term manager in our environment. We want it to say supervisor everywhere. And so we had to go through and make sure that everything said supervisor and not manager. And this would have made it so much easier. This was a couple of years ago before we had managed metadata. It was back in 2007. But going through and trying to make sure everywhere and everybody that had the information and was creating content types or creating columns and metadata columns remembered to put manager and not supervisor, or supervisor and not manager. And that was very difficult for them to manage. Now we can do it easily. We can say, this is what it is, because we can plan those terms ahead of time. It's really easy to start doing this. Maybe you want to do some brainstorming. Is it going to flip? There we go. This is my brainstorming session. I basically had a whiteboard and some post-it notes, and we went to town. We just started with a group, a high-level list of things that we kind of deal with. This is for content types. So maybe we deal with press releases a lot, or contracts, or vacation requests. You see, I put that in there and I refer to it a lot. There's a reason for that. Maybe we deal with products that are content types. Maybe we deal with procedures and policies. Anybody deal with policies in your environment? We all have policies, right? Written or unwritten, we have policies. So just sit down and brainstorm and think about the content types that you may need in your environment. You can do this with a group of people. You know, it can be IT, it can be business. In fact, it's probably better to involve the business here, right? And just take notes as the IT person. Oh, they threw out this term, they threw out that term, they threw out the other term. And start writing them down so that you can kind of get an idea of the type of content that will be used in your environment. Next piece is determine the scope of your content. This is really, really important because things roll down, not up. Anybody ever seen water roll uphill without some magic trick? It just doesn't happen. So you have to start thinking about where the content needs to be created. Do we need to create our content types at the enterprise level because everybody needs them? Or do we need to create them at the site collection level because really the only people that use it is this one group, okay? So you have to think about that. And it's really important to understand that because that's going to give you an idea of where they need to be created. Again, enterprise, that's the highest level, site collection, it's trickle down, right? So if we only create it at the list or library level, that's the only place it can be used really easily, is at that level. So we probably don't want to create it there. We want to create it at the highest level possible. There may be some use cases where you say, you know what, this doesn't need to be created at the enterprise level. It really involves IT only or HR only. There's some very specific cases there. But there's a lot of content types that should be used everywhere. Everybody needs vacation. Everybody needs frequently asked questions, right? Because if you work at a decent sized enterprise, we all want to know, okay, if I go to HR, I've got a heckling section over here. If we go to HR and I want to ask some questions about benefits, we need a frequently asked questions list about benefits. So we can create a content type of frequently asked questions. It has two metadata columns, question and answer, right? Really easy. But that's a really easy content type that we can go ahead and create at the enterprise level and push out, and everybody can use it easily because it's already there and created for them. The next piece is going to be identifying who is going to do what. So owners and managers. This is really, really important because we want to know who has the ability to create them and manage them. They have to have some specific rights within SharePoint to be able to do that. We have to give them access if they're creating enterprise content types to the enterprise content type hub, give them those permissions. Will it be only for that site? Will it be farm-wide? Again, we talked about that, trying to remember that. What about metadata? We can create metadata at the site collection level, or we can create it in the term store and have it used throughout our farm and throughout our environment. Will there need to be other people involved? You know, okay, well, if we're planning for IT, probably not. But maybe for some other entities within our businesses, we may. We may need to get legal involved. Hey, legal, we have this group of data that we want to do. What's the policy on this? How long do we have to keep it? We may need to get several people involved in the planning of this. How often is that content type going to change? This is a big one. With content types, when you create it, you're going to create a set of columns and a set of settings. If those settings change often, then we need to be able to make sure that who's in charge of changing that has the ability to do it, the bandwidth to do it, right? The permissions to do it, and that they're able to make those changes. The big thing there is making sure that you give them the tools to be successful. Train them, teach them about content types. Help them to understand that if they modify the parent content type, that's going to affect the child. That's a big one that people forget. They maybe create a child content type, and there's a column in there that came from the parent content type. Well, we want to create a workflow on that. So if it's division, you know, we have a parent content type that has a metadata column of division. We've inherited that. We want to go ahead and create a workflow so that if it's created to a specific division or whatever, that it behaves a specific way. Then the person who's over the parent content type goes in and deletes that column, and we have issues because it says trickle it down. Well, it's going to give them some warning. It's going to let them know. But then you also need to work with those people that are over those child content types. Hey, we need to change this column up. We're going to have to do some changes here. We need to delete this data. There's a lot of things like that that's taken into consideration. So you need to be aware that whatever changes you make at the parent also affect all of those child content types. So you need to understand what child content types are out there for the content type you're managing. So the last piece is defining. So actually doing the content types themselves. That is things like planning the metadata and columns. Okay, so now we've got a list. We've done our brainstorming. We know what content types we want in our organization. We've talked about our terminology. We've talked about who's going to manage them. Now let's really get down to the nitty-gritty of how we do this. So then the first thing you want to do is plan your metadata, plan your columns. Maybe it's you're just using a document that is specific to your industry. I hate the document content type sometimes because people just do that. They leave it there. They say new document. Okay? Then they make no changes to it. But when we're working within large organizations, a lot of times we need to know who's responsible for that document. What division does it apply to? What policy does it apply to? What does it affect? So we want to create those metadata columns with it so that we can quickly and easily go in and see what that is. So we want to create our own documents. Maybe we call it new, and whatever your company name is, and I'm just going to say Contoso, new Contoso document. And when I say new Contoso document, and it opens up that Word document for me, I already have the metadata columns that are required for me. I need to put in my division every single time, everywhere across the enterprise. So we don't ever have to worry about that. And that becomes your new parent content type for any other documents within your organization. Okay? Planning your templates. Is it something that needs to be templatized, right? So a basic document, and I do recommend that you do keep a basic document, but go ahead and put whatever metadata you want in there about it. But a basic document doesn't necessarily need a template. But maybe we want to have some templates for some specific types. So we then create another child document. So we have the Contoso document. We have another child document that is called Contoso Project Charters. And that has a template as well as the same metadata that the parent has. Okay? So we're creating all of these different content types and planning for those in our organization so that it makes it really easy for our user to go in and go, oh, I know exactly what I need to do here. And then, of course, planning those relationships. Things like your metadata relationships, that's very, very important. Are we going to get it from the managed metadata? Are we getting it from a lookup from another list in this site that we have to create? Okay, do we need to have that as a specific content type as well? So then you also have to plan those kind of relationships. If we're getting it from some other list or library within our site, we have to make sure that we plan that content type too. And it has to come first if we're going to look up from it, right? Because we can't look up something that's not there. So we have to plan those things out. Here are some planning tools. Pretty easy, right? Pen and paper. That's an easy planning tool. As I said, if you're the IT person, you're sitting there and you're listening to a whole bunch of people talk about what types of documents and things that they use in their business, start writing it down because you're probably going to see it need to be a content type at some point. There is a content type planning worksheet. I'm going to talk you through that. And I think the slides are available, so the link will be in there. Whiteboard is a great planning tool, sitting down with a group of people, writing things out on a whiteboard. Mind mapping software. Anybody like mind mapping software? Okay, so mind mapping software is a great planning tool. You can really see relationships in mind mapping software between content, metadata, parent-child relationships. It's really easy to graph some of that out in mind mapping software. Visio is my mind mapping software because I don't know mind mapping software, but I know Visio, and I can create those same kind of things, the diagrams, and expand things out. So I use Visio as more of my mind mapping software. Excel, of course, if you use the content type planning worksheet, it is an Excel worksheet, but you can create your own. You can take the worksheet that's already out there and say, this is pretty good, but I want to make it my own way, and there's some other stuff that I want to add to it. It's really just a guide. OneNote is a great planning tool as well. So you can do a lot of those same things in OneNote. And actually, we're going to flip over to demo the planning tools here. And I'm going to demo two planning tools. And really, it's more of pictures, but I'm going to talk about the process as I go through it. Let me wake this guy up. There we go. So I started in OneNote, and I've actually just taken an image of it because I didn't know if I would have a good connection, so I took a picture. You'll have to bear with me and know that this is actually OneNote. You can see it if I scroll up. Looks like OneNote, right? All right, so this is what I did. is I went in OneNote and I said, okay, let's talk about the content types that we need. What content types do we need? Now, the scenario here is that, and one thing I didn't tell you about myself, I do yoga a lot and I teach yoga sometimes. So we are creating a yoga environment in our athletic company, okay? So in our athletic division, we have all of this information, all right? And right now, it looks a little bit like this. So if we come into our environment, we have lots of folders. So I come into my All Documents. This is where we store all of our information about the different exercises in our environment. And if I open it up, I can go and drill down. And okay, well, within yoga, we have a whole bunch of types of yoga. There's a bunch of them, and I didn't list them all. And maybe within them, we have different categories. So back bends, forwards, upside downs, round and round, right? Once we get into that, we also then have anatomical focuses, right? Or foci. Is that how you pronounce that? Foci? Ugh, I don't like that word. Multiple of these. So we've created our content types of, you know, we just throw in pictures in here. This is what the yoga pose is. So if we want to work on arms in aerial, in, I don't know, balances or whatever the different categories were, I have to drill all the way down through that to get to this content type. Okay, well, this is the iron tee. Well, iron tee exists in multiple places. You know how I know? Because I made it. But if I go in here, not only does iron tee work on your arms, but it also works on your abs a lot. All right, so you can see it has to live in two places. If I've got folders and that same content applies to multiple things, I can't do that with folders. That's where metadata really shines, because I can have multiple things with metadata. So we're going to take this ugly thing where I had to drill down through like four layers of folders, and we're going to turn it into something else. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing we need to do is think about, sorry, clicked the wrong thing, what content types we need. So in yoga, we have a couple of different things. We have a parent content type that's already been created for us at the enterprise level, and it's called an exercise. Because we have gyms, we have cardio, we have lots of different exercises, but our yoga is growing, right? So when we do that, we think about two different things. We have the poses, and then maybe we have the details about that pose. Things like contraindications, you know, how we get into the pose, how we get out of the pose, maybe some recommended things that we do in a sequence, different things like that. So we start planning our content types. And this is me whiteboarding at the top, and I really am using OneNote as my whiteboard. Then I think about the terms. What kind of terms, what metadata am I going to want to know about that? And of course, I have yoga, but that's really a division. Our enterprise content type of exercise is a parent. The parent of it is document, and our exercise is actually the document content type. It's got the title, and then the next thing we want is metadata. Was the division? So we have three. We have four. We have yoga. We have the gym exercises. We have cardio exercises. I can't remember the fourth one off the top of my head. But we created all of these different divisions that we have that we're managing. Then we have a term set of types. We want to know what types of yoga that we're doing. And then the categories of yoga, and then the anatomical focus. Okay. So once I got to that, then I came down and I started planning out my content types here. So, of course, exercise was one of our content types. Its apparent content type is document. Okay? The exercise title, so we all do things like maybe the exercise is aerobics or, I don't know, kettlebell something or another. I don't do any of those things. But for exercise, it's just the title of the exercise and then the division that it falls into, okay? So that's a very basic content type that lives at our enterprise level. So then what we want to do is bring that down another level. There's two things in yoga that we need some more details. So our parent content type for the pose detail is actually not document. It's going to end up being the exercise because we also want to put that division in there. And I'll show you some cool things that I did with modifying that content type and bringing it down to the child, that's really cool. And then we also have our yoga pose, which is actually a picture because people need to see what it's going to have to look like. And then the information that I needed about that. So I wanted to know the pose name, the Sanskrit name, because anybody reads Sanskrit, right? We all do. And we speak it in everyday language. The type of yoga that we're doing, the category, anatomical focus, and of course we still want the division even with our pictures and our images. All right? So then once I did that, I came down and I started planning out my metadata. And so you can see where I started listing out different types of yoga, different categories of yoga, anatomical focus that we want to maybe be able to focus on. So when you're planning a class or whatever you're doing with your information is you can be very specific about what you're focusing on. All right? So once I did all of that, then I came in and I said, okay, well, these are going to be terms. And I think I want them in managed metadata. But now I have to really think more about the planning of the content types themselves. So the managed metadata part is a little bit separate, but this is actually where you start planning out your content types. And this is the actual content type planning worksheet that you can go and download from that link. I'll zoom in if you need. Does anybody need me to zoom in? Yes, no, maybe? Okay. So there's a couple of columns here. Things like your content type name, what the scope is. Remember, we had to talk about the scope earlier of, is it going to be an enterprise content type? Is it going to drop down and be a site content type? Is it going to be a list content type? We don't want to plan those. We want to plan for things that will be higher so that we can trickle down, not up. All right. What URL is it going to live at? Where do we create it? What the parent content type is? Again, you can see that my exercise content type parent was document, but I decided to make my yoga pose details parent content type the exercise so that it goes ahead and inherits the division. We can then plan out our columns. So the name of the column, that's important because you need to know what the current names are of your site columns. Because when you create your columns, if they match the same names, it won't like you at all. It'll tell you there's already a column with that name and it's reserved and you can't use it. So then you have to come up with a new name. The type of column, so there's lots of different options here. Managed metadata, a single line of data that you can just type in, choice columns. We've all created columns and lists, right? So there's lots of different options there. But we want to make sure that we define that as we're going through and planning. The purpose, so why do we need this column? What's it there for? Is it so that we can search for specific information? Is it so that we can roll it up and report on it? A lot of times that's what we run into. We want to create some reports. Now, how do we tie it all together? Is it a new column? Does it already exist? So if I go and look at the current things that are out of the box, if it's already there, use it, right? Don't reinvent the wheel. Use what's already there. There's other things in this, and I didn't use these because I did not create them, but you can create your templates. You can talk about the template names, the types. Is it new template that you need? Workflows, what those will be. And also your information management policy. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do with this content type planning worksheet that you can do for your content types while you're going through and getting them ready. And this is actually your guide so that when you go in and create them and you actually start creating them, you just follow step 1, 2, 3, right? Is it created already? Is it new? Then, okay, I need to create some new columns here. Oh, it's not new, so I can reuse whatever's there out of the box. All right. So those are two of the things that I used for planning for the demos that we're going to talk about. Let me flip back here. Slides. All right. So now we're going to talk about implementing content types and managed metadata. And of course, this next slide is going to tell you what you need to do. Start at the beginning, right? Start at the very top level of things that you need. If you realize that you want to have some of that metadata be managed terms instead of freeform text or something that they can fill in, start with your term sets. Plan those, begin implementing with those so you have something to look up in when you're doing testing, because we all test, right? We all test, right? Okay. So we want to make sure we have some data we can use to test with. Then we want to implement our content types, maybe with the least amount of settings. Go ahead and knock the easy ones out first, right? And then also we want to create those content types first that will be the lookup things from other content types. Remember we talked about maybe we need to look up from information within the site. So we need to have those created before we can actually create the next content type that's going to look up from those. So remember that. And also remember parents come first. You can't actually create the child without the parent. If you can figure that out, okay. All right. The next thing I like to do is when I'm thinking about site columns, I don't create all of my site columns at once. I don't go in and just mass create. I start creating the content type and I create the site columns as needed. Again, a key point here, don't overlook those out-of-the-box site columns. There's a lot of them that are already created for you. Things like name, address, phone number, fax. I mean, why do we need to recreate those? They're already there out of the box. They already have the right information and they work right. Be sure you name your content types something meaningful. Content type 1234 tells me nothing. Your users actually see these names. Remember that new document? Whatever you put in for that name is going to show up for that user. Okay? So make sure that they understand what it is. If you have a lot of little business entities within your organization, make sure you include that as part of the name. New Contoso document instead of new Litware document or new whatever document, so that we have them very specific for that organization. So make sure you name them something very meaningful. Place them in categories. It's going to default every time to custom. I hate that, okay? For two reasons. I like to have everything at the top that I'm working with so that I can easily spot when I go into my content types what I need to work with instead of working with the stuff that, you know, is there out of the box so I don't mistakenly modify the wrong thing. So I like to name them something specific that floats them more to the top of my view. But make sure that they are consistent and meaningful to your organization as well. Again, if you have multiple entities, categories is your friend. So you can keep up with what's going to be, okay, well, all of these content types apply to this organization. All of these content types apply to this organization. Makes it really easy also for your users when they're creating new lists and libraries to be able to go in and say, okay, I need all of the content types for Litware and not for Contoso. Okay? All right. So the next thing we're going to demo is what I've created, maybe, if it pops up. So we're going to go through and demonstrate how I did this. Oop, wrong one. 8. There we go. So we started out, and this is a content type hub. Now, this is an Office 365. In Office 365, you get a content type hub. You don't have to go create one. If you go create one, it's not going to like you. It's going to tell you there's already a site with that name. Even though if you go look at sites, it doesn't show up in the list, but it's there. It's hidden. So if it's just whatever your tenant name is, /sites/content type hub. Real complex, right? So I'm using the content type hub, and I'm going into site settings, and I've created some content types. And this is where I created my exercise content type, because I wanted it to be published everywhere. I wanted every division to be able to use the same exercise, no matter where they were. My exercise content type is pretty simple. The parent content type is document, new document. Again, it always has a title. It always has a name. You can see where things come from. So item is actually a parent of document. So single line of text for the title, name, and I added a column of division. And it is a managed metadata column. And where that comes from is in my term store. So if you have the ability to manage the term store either at your site collection or at your enterprise level, and you'll have to make sure you have the appropriate permissions for that, you can come in and create your term sets. So I've created a term set here in my Contoso of divisions, and we have cardio, we have sports, that's the other one that I missed, strength training and yoga, okay? So these are the basic divisions of my exercise company, all right? So I want to know what it applies to. Every exercise has to apply to some division, right? So I wanted that across my entire enterprise. And that was great. Worked well for when we were all pretty small, but the yoga division has just boomed and they need some more specifics. So we've actually created them their own site collection, and we've created some yoga poses here. So we've gone in, and I'm going to go into my site contents here. Not site contents, site settings, sorry, clicked the wrong button. And look at my site content types. Now you can see that exercise is there, and it has been pushed down from the enterprise content type to my site content types now. The next two things we created was the yoga pose and yoga pose detail. So our yoga pose details inherits from that parent content type of exercise. We wanted it to go ahead and inherit some things. But what we did here, because this is at the site level, is I came in and I said, okay, this division that's being forced down to us, I edited that site column and I gave it a default value. And the default value is yoga, because we're in the yoga site collection, right? Why do we need the other ones? So I've made it easy for my users. It's just going to default to yoga every time. And it makes it less confusing for them. Yes, I want to close that. Oh, I didn't want to close the tab. Let me go back into my site. All right, so we created some extra things. We wanted the Sanskrit name. So when we're doing traditional yoga, a lot of times we want to call it by the Sanskrit name versus the name that we all use, like downward dog. Because don't ask me to pronounce the Sanskrit name. I can't do it. Yoga category, we wanted that information. The yoga type and the anatomical focus. Now, I made these managed metadata columns. And where I did that was I went back into the term store and I created a group called yoga. Because the yoga people understand this, they know what they're doing, and they can manage these terms separately from the other divisions. Okay, so I've created this group. I can give them some permissions to it, let them manage it. And then I created some term sets for them. Anatomical focus, you can see, right? So we've done this, and now we can use those as managed metadata columns in our environment. We can come in and make sure they're required. So everyone has to have a category, a type, and a focus. Not necessarily a Sanskrit name, because there's some new yoga things like aerial yoga that you don't necessarily have a Sanskrit name for anyway anymore, because we're creating them as we go. So we don't want to necessarily make that one a requirement. Once we've created this one, we went back in. Let me scroll up here. And now we wanted to create our yoga pose itself. So these are going to be picture images. So of course our parent content type is picture. Now there's some in here you cannot remove when you're dealing with picture as a parent content type. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Leave them in there. And it makes it really easy for you because they've kind of grayed out. You can't remove it and you can't edit it. So it makes it much easier for you to make sure that you're not messing with things you shouldn't be messing with. But we added in, of course, our Sanskrit name. We added in our division, our yoga type, and those columns so that we can match things up. Once we did that, we can go in to our document libraries. And this is just a picture library that I created called Yoga Poses. And when I created that, I went into the library settings. And I came into advanced and I said, let me manage the content types. Right? So when you manage the content types, you can then get this section of management called content types, and you can add whatever content types you've already created to that list. Does anybody remember what it becomes when it's attached to this list? List content types. They're listening. Hey. All right, so we can add those new content types to that list. So I just went into the picture library and said, hey, add my yoga pose to this content type, and then I removed the picture content type, the basic one, so that it wouldn't interfere and made it very easy for my users. Now when they go into my document library, and they say, hey, I need to do something or upload something, they can do new yoga pose. Makes it really easy for our users, right? Or we can just upload them, and it's the default, so it's automatically going to default to that. Now, if I had multiple, I wouldn't want it to necessarily do that, but then I'd have to select what would be my default. So by default, it becomes this. But if you select it, you can create a different content type. All right, so we've created our content type, and we've uploaded some data. I've already put it in there. The other thing we did is in my document library, I came in, I did the same thing, and added my yoga detail content type here. If you open it up and I say, okay, let's look at the metadata here. You can see my information. So I've added the Sanskrit name, I've looked up the category. It applies to multiple yoga types, so it doesn't have to live in all those separate folders anymore. It can be in one spot, and I can find it easily. It has lots of different anatomical foci, whatever you want me to call that. So it's all in there, and I can find it's in one place now. It's not in a bunch of different locations, and I have to go find them. And now if something changes, I have to go find it in all of those places and change it in all those places. Make one change in one spot. All right. So once I did that, I did some really cool things with this. So if I go into my library here, you can see I've turned on my metadata navigation for this particular library. So I can filter and I can say, okay, let's look at the focus of, let's say, abs. And I can get all of those poses in there. So this is all the poses that apply for abs. The other thing I did was I also added some filters. So, okay, yes, it applies to abs. Now let's make sure it's, let's see, aerial yoga. Why not? It's the one at the top. Again, I float to the top. So when I apply that filter, it's going to show me everything that focuses on abs and is aerial. So if I'm planning a class, I can use this and help plan my class, make sure that I understand what the contraindications are before anybody comes in, and then I can make sure that I'm giving them the right poses for what they need. All right, I've done the same thing in my library here of pictures. So I can go ahead and filter and apply all of that. But I did something else here. I went into the actual poses themselves, and I said, you know what, I want to see that pose. I also want to see the information about that pose. So I want to make it easy for my instructors to find what they need. So I went ahead and modified the display and said, hey, look it up and filter from that other list based on the information we have the same. So that when I go in, I can see the pose, I can easily open the document, read everything about it. The other thing that I haven't shown you yet for a reason is when I'm creating these documents, I gave it a template. I want all of this information every time I open or create a new yoga pose. So I gave it a template. It doesn't have to be really complex. It's a very simple template. Information that I want to see is the pose name, the description, basic information, right? This is our document information panel. Remember I said we'd talk about that and we'd look at it? So when I'm creating it and I go new, yoga pose details, I have this and I can start filling in information. Now I'm going to cheat here just a little bit. I've already typed this out and I'm going to cut and paste because it's much easier that way. All right, so I've done that. It actually fits the same template. And then I can put in my information for the document. I can say, okay, this is the full boat pose. My division, the Sanskrit name, I don't remember that. I'm going to cheat. Yes, if anybody wants to try to pronounce that, go for it. All right. I can pick my categories. I get a lookup list. It's really nice. I can click on it. Maybe it'll work fast. Come on. Come on. Thank you. So I can pick a category or multiple categories if it's necessary. This one is a balance. All right. I can pick the type of yoga that I think it should go in. Let's do this one. All right, and the anatomical focus. And there's multiple. So this is abs. It is also hips and hamstrings. All right, so I can put this information in. And when I click the save button, it's going to save it to where it's at, current folder. And we'll leave it as that and save. Hopefully it works. All right, so now I should be able to go into my library, refresh my library, and see it in there. There it is, full boat. But I've made it very easy for my users. I can go in and say, here's the template, here's the name of it, here's all the data I want you to give me in one spot. They don't have to go, okay, now what do I have to remember? Or when they go to upload it, then they have to go find that data. I've made it very easy and contextual for my users to be able to work with that. All right, everybody cool with that? All right. So how many of you have not implemented content types? And you're dealing with that file structure. There's hope. You can still implement. It's hard. It's going to be a challenge. Good luck. Come talk to some of us in the audience that have done this. But you can still fix the current lists and libraries if they aren't there. You just go in, you tell it to allow management of content types, and then you have to go, you actually have to go into each individual item. This is fun. And set the content type for that item to now be related to that content type, all right? Once you get into that, you can start doing it. I haven't tried it. Maybe talk to some other people around here that are really good with this thing called PowerShell. Anybody ever heard of that? Might be a good way for that to happen. You know, talk to this guy over here. He's raising his hand with PowerShell. Yeah, I'm down with that. You can come write all the PowerShell scripts to fix this for everybody that's going to come talk to me. All right. But then there's some other cool things, and I didn't have time to demo it all, but you can create search. That actual first page that I showed you was actually search-based of content types, and it just showed the content types, and I can type in whatever metadata I want, and it would filter both lists so that I could easily plan a class if that's what I was doing. All right, and now I have less than time for Q&A, so there's about seven, eight minutes left. Be sure and fill out your evaluations. Head over to the Ask the Experts. We'll all be there.